Hope everyone's doing all right. I pray the Lord will bless you this morning, and may my human words be anointed with the Holy Ghost so that they're words from heaven. Lord, I just pray that you would come down, and heaven would come down, and glory would fill our soul. I pray, Lord, that you take the paltry brass and turn it into gold. You take the wood and the straw that we bring, and you turn it into iron, Lord, and make it something in your kingdom that's of value. But Lord, I thank you that you do value each and every person that's in this place, but Lord, beyond these borders too. And I pray your kingdom would come and your will would be done. I pray, God, that your spiritual kingdom, which is not of this earth, will take a precedence over this kingdom of the world that is around us every day when we step out of the door. And even in our own homes, Lord, the kingdom of this world is around us. But thank you for your kingdom that's come to live within our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given and imparted something within the inner man, the inner person of everyone that believes in you, which is a touch from heaven and a doorway into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I know it's the wrong month, but we all know the Christmas story. And there was these wise men, it says, or they call them magi. And they're on their way because they're following a star from the east. They're on their way to Jerusalem. And they're just following the star, so they figured they'd go to King Herod first and ask him, have you heard about the hymn that's going to be born king of the Jews? Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 2, too, because unfortunately they didn't realize they were going into the lion's den. And Herod wasn't going to be too receptive to another king. Where is he who's been born king of the Jews, for we have heard, has seen a star in the east, and we come to worship him? Well, it's interesting because Herod gave them a ruse and said, hey, bring back news to me. I want to worship him too. That wasn't the truth, but off they went, and they followed the star, and they followed God's leading. They found Jesus, a babe in a manger. And they worshiped him. They gave their gifts of frankincense and incense and so forth. But I mention this because at the end of Jesus' life, there's a wonderful fulfillment of what these, well, how his life started. Because if we go to John chapter 18, verses 36 to 38, he's now standing before Pontius Pilate, who was another ruler of the land when Jesus was around 33, and John 18, 36 to 38. Can we get that one up? And here is what Jesus said. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was from this world, my servants would fight. Let's listen to that for a second. My servants would fight. So that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. That's a tremendous truth. He was born to be a king. The question is, king of what? And for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Now Jesus is attaching his kingdom authority to truth. And Pilate said to him, being a Greek back then and in the philosophy of those days, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out to the Jews and he said, I don't find anything wrong with this guy. That's the beginning of how I want to start it. But you guys know that we didn't come to worship a philosopher this morning. Did you know we didn't come to worship one of the greatest teachers that's ever taught? We didn't come to worship a social activist who was leading a revolution against the Romans. No, we came to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who he is. And in Revelation 19:18, this is what it says. And John was given a great vision. Maybe I got the wrong one. I'm sorry. It would be 18:18 probably. But it says this. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. But the scripture the Lord put on my heart this morning is from Psalm 2. Now, Psalm 2 was written about 1,000 years before Christ came into the world, or the Son of God came and became Christ through the virgin birth. But this psalm was written, and here's the first two verses of Psalm 2. And this is known as a royal psalm, which means it's about a king. Why are the nations raging and the people plotting a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. See the capital letters? That was the divine name of Yahweh. Sometimes Jehovah Witnesses come to the door. Do you know Jehovah? That's not the proper pronunciation, Jehovah. It's likely Yahweh or something like that. We don't completely know. The point is that there's a divine name given to Moses, I am that I am. And it says, against him and against his anointed, saying, and that I'm going to get to verse 3. But did you know the apostles quoted this scripture when they were being persecuted? Now, the apostles were the 12 apostles that Jesus left in the church. And if we can go to Acts, I want to show you how they quote this scripture. Because this really kind of, I like to use scripture to understand scripture. That kind of makes sense, right? And when they had heard what was happening, the apostles had healed somebody, and the rulers didn't like it because people were following them. They were jealous. So when they heard that they were going to get persecuted for their faith, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said. Now listen to these two verses. Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Do you guys see that that's the same scripture? So Psalm 2 was quoted directly, the first two verses. Is there any question in your mind that this psalm is about Jesus? If there is, it's just simply because you don't believe the Bible. Now I'm going to go, and I want to mention this though, that this was obviously about the Jews and the Gentiles conspiring together with the leaders to kill Christ. By the way, they did a good job. They killed him. But what I want to do is look at, you know what's really cool about this psalm? It actually tells you what they were thinking when they killed him. How's that make you feel? You got the inside scoop on the killers. What is it? Verse 3. It just seems so innocuous almost. It just seems so like, whoa. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Did you know that God Almighty and his Christ have bonds and cords? Because if they didn't, then first of all, these guys wouldn't have tried to cast them away. And secondly, they wouldn't have been offended by Jesus because he wouldn't have been saying anything offensive. So here's the thing. If you want to know Jesus as the king and you want to worship him as the king, you have to know the truth because the truth will set you free. And the Bible says God desires such to worship him as worship him in spirit and in truth. We love to be in the Holy Spirit praising God, don't we? But do we love to be in the truth, brothers, sisters? There is no other way. And, you know, Acts 4:12 says there's no other name given among men to people whereby we must be saved, this name of Jesus. But I want to tell you this, though. Brother Howard, he prayed my sermon would be relevant, so I hope it is. And here's my first relevant little comment. Let's put that verse back up, 2:3. I'm going to give you a modern take on this verse. I want to do whatever I want to do here in Canada, and I don't care who God or Jesus are or what anybody else tells me. That's the same thing because, you know, we sing this song, Break Every Chain, don't we? But did you guys know that there's chains And Wendy prayed this on Thursday as a confirmation to my message. But there's chains, or there's a bond that we need, not that we need to shake off. It's the bond of knowing Him. It's the bond of being bonded to Jesus Christ, who is the King of the universe. It's the ability to be able to draw nigh to Him. And James says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Well, how do you draw nigh to Him? It's not by doing this. I'll just do whatever I want, and I don't care what God the Father and God the Son say. That's not going to draw you into that fellowship with Jesus. Now, let me tell you this. The Lord loves you no matter what. For now.